Good afternoon, everybody. I'm an addict named Dennis.
Dennis!
My current position is the outgoing treasurer of the Region 51 Convention Committee, and my new adventure is the alternate RD for the region, so...
Dennis, could you speak up, please?
Sure, I'll get a little closer. How's that?
Is it on?
It is. I think it is on.
Yeah, it is on.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Dennis.
No problem. I'm a little nervous.
It's okay.
But I know that my back's covered, and I know that, you know, the God of my understanding's with me, and that's what's important. We're going to talk about the 11th concept. I don't have a preset format with this, because everybody's got some ideas, but there's some bullet points that I want to talk about. Because the concept applies from the groups all the way up to the region, and then the world. But, you know, funds need to be, you know, watched and spent, you know, correctly. And so we're going to talk about some of the ways that we get from where the money came from and where the money went. When I took over the Southern Nevada Convention some 12 years ago, 14 years ago, it was done with pencil and paper. And then we got advanced and we went to, you know, spreadsheets. And we now have the convention actually on QuickBooks. It's much easier to track. You can see where the money came from, because that was the question that always got asked from the area or from the region. Where did the money come from? How did it get there? And what did you do with it? You know? So, you know, and it works into the budgeting aspect of it a lot, because budgeting is a very important part of it. If we don't budget for our convention or budget for our activity, how do we know where we're going to be? Do we know what our pre-event costs are going to be? Have we done a contract with a hotel for an event, or, you know, some of those things? So we need to look at that kind of stuff. You know, and the other thing I wanted to talk about is the treasurer's position for some of these areas, these, you know, events. And, you know, even from your group treasurer to your home group treasurer to, you know, treasurer of the region. And qualifications for those things. One of the things I've noticed in my years of being around here, that we put people in positions that don't have the skills to be able to do the job, but they win the popularity contest. You know, so we wind up with people in trusted positions that are not equipped to be able to do it the way it needs to be done. And things get changed around. So I wanted to touch a little bit about that. You know, and but I want to hear from you guys what's your problems, what issues you've seen, what's been going on, so we can kind of talk about it, you know, and share our experience about it, just like we would just be like a meeting, where we share what's going on and we can continue on with coming up with some ideas, you know. I'd like to talk about the treasurer's position, you know, and clean time. You know, what are requirements for clean time to be a treasurer, be it in a home group or an event setting? So, you know, I'd like to hear some information from you guys, because this is going to help me in my further development of what I'm doing and stuff that I want to be able to pass on to the next committee. Because it's always a discussion point, and it's always an issue sometimes of finding somebody that has the clean time and the skills to do the position. Because today's events are much more complicated than they were 20 years ago. You know? And so, you know, it starts with contracts and goes all the way through. We've talked about contracts earlier in the day, you know, of how we contract our conventions or our special events. Yeah, especially when we're using a facility like this. So, you know, I'd like to kind of hear some of the suggestions and ideas and why you guys are doing things in your areas, in your regions, you know, that would help. And I think that's kind of an important thing, that we get some greater feedback instead of, you know, being in this little focal point. So. I'm interested in hearing some things, and, you know, I don't have the fancy board or anything like that to write stuff down on, but, you know, we can take some notes and we can talk about it. So let's talk about treasures and clean time requirements. You know, what do we feel the job of the treasurer is, and what kind of a clean time requirement do we have? Has anybody got a shot out there?
You're clean and a job.
I'm sorry?
A year clean and a job.
You're clean and a job? Is that for a group reading?
For a meeting.
For a meeting? Yeah, okay.
Source of income.
Yes.
Right.
Not a job, but a source of income.
Right, okay.
5 years clean per area.
Yeah.
Checkbook, or the ability to take care of a checkbook.
Right, important things. You know, do they know how to balance a checkbook?
Can they run a spreadsheet?
Yeah, and reconcile a bank statement.
And reconcile a bank statement.
Yeah.
Run QuickBooks.
Some real simple things that we kind of forget about. Yes?
I think this is when people tend to forget, never stole money from a fellowship.
Right.
Yes. Misappropriation of funds.
Funds. And that's where the details come in, like using QuickBooks, where the details come in that you can see where it came in. Did this come from registration? Was this a banquet ticket? You know, is it a t-shirt? Because I know with our convention, we separate merchandise and registration.
Yes.
So that we know that, you know, and we have sheets that we track the sales on so that we have something to balance back to, and an inventory to balance back to. Yes,
ma'am. I'm Amy, I'm an addict.
Hey, Amy.
So I think I just want to be clear about this. So we're talking about different treasurer positions.
Right.
Because at a group level, it's one thing. At an area level,
it's another.
It's another. At a region, it's another.
It's even another. Right.
Right. So I know one of the things I've noticed is, at a group level, some groups are really good about, when we actually have the resources available to, there's sheets, just like we have group inventories, right? Groups are to do inventories, and there's actual inventories for the group to use.
Right.
Treasurers have treasurer books.
Yeah.
There's an
how many people use, how many people use the treasurer's handbook?
So,
a very important tool.
I mean, so on a group level, it's really not that detailed. So I guess I'm wanting to ask the group, when we say a source of income, so are we saying that someone who is the treasurer of a meeting at just a regular meeting or a group, that they have to have a job in order to be able to be a treasurer? Are we saying somebody at area or somebody at region? I mean, I'm kind of confused about that when we're saying these things, because I think we should clarify if we're talking, because I heard 1 year, then 5 years, then QuickBooks and all this crap, and I'm thinking, okay, wait a second. One may, you know, for different levels.
Right.
Sure, but let's be...
That's what we're trying to get down to, is the fact that, you know, you've got different levels, you know. But I still, you know, I have some personal opinions, and I'm going to leave them out of it. Yes, sir.
Yeah, every treasurer position I've been exposed to requires that the treasurer have a steady source of income.
Right.
And the higher positions, a steady source of income that is, you know, significant, mm-hmm. as opposed to insignificant. Because
right.
there could be a lot of money moving through, and we don't want to tempt our treasurers to tap into
that their personal extra source of income. Yes, sir, in the back.
A working knowledge of the 12 steps, traditional.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Yeah, and an understanding of the concepts of service.
A working knowledge of it.
Terry.
My name's Terry. I'm an addict.
Terry.
You know, I've seen in my time in being in recovery, I've seen where, you know, we have these different amounts of clean times for different positions, and I've seen how we took a person and allowed them to be the treasurer of our home group, and they didn't meet the requirement, and the money disappeared, and it was just as devastating, if not more, to that home group than if it would have been at a regional level or even an area level. And then I've seen the same thing happen in different areas. With large amounts of money. That's why we have, if you're in a larger position, that we have theft, anti-theft policies that you have to sign before you're even put in that position. You you know? And when I was the treasurer for the Men's Spiritual Breakfast, we did everything back then by hand.
Right.
Okay? But the other part of that was, is one of the things, because I'm from Vegas, we also had to sign off that we wasn't going to gamble while we was in that position, because we have access to all that other money.
Right.
So, thank you.
The gentleman in the back with the ball cap.
Oh, I was just wondering if you could just give me a quick overview of the 11th concept.
Okay, if we talk about the 11th concept, we're talking about being responsible for the NA funds and spending it correctly and prudently, and having a source of accountability to another body. It's important that people will ask, well, where's the question's been asked to me before. A newcomer asked me, where does the dollar go that I put in the basket for the seventh tradition? And what is it used for? You know, some simple questions like that. And it's important that, you know, we be able to explain where that dollar goes. You know, and it doesn't matter if it's a home group or a regional or area position, where does my dollar go? And what is it used for? You know, and if there's excess dollars, where does that go? Young lady.
Oh, my name's Tia Attic from Everett, Washington. So our area, another requirement is that you have to be able to have a bank account and actually have a bank account.
Okay.
And that's, I think that's actually true for any admin level at the area, any chair of a subcommittee or anything.
Yeah, the Patriot Act took care of a lot of that, because the fact that if you can't get through check systems, you know, you can't be on an account. And so you've got to be able to get behind that. Was there one? Yes, sir.
I just wanted to clarify what I was taught about the difference between having a job and a source of income is someone might be on VA benefits, someone might be on disability.
Right.
Someone might not work because their partner brings in the money and they're still willing to be a service, and the people trust the way going to steal the funds. And that was just something that was pointed out.
Yeah, they're very good. You know, that's something I had kind of not thought about. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I hear a lot about clean time requirements and having a bank account, and all of that's bullshit, actually.
Really?
When you come right down to it, because the largest theft of funds in the Washington Northern Idaho area, $56,000, was done by somebody with a source of income and 20-some-odd years clean.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we should give a homeless guy any funds to take care of.
Okay, so
you said bullshit, man.
But bullshit doesn't open it up for the floor to comment back. I'm actually, I would request the respect to say what I want to say.
Okay. Calling in a bullshit.
Well, okay, that's enough.
That's your opinion. Here's where the juice is, and that's in the guidelines to have effective communications and the concepts for effective communications, to have effective audit procedures. And the best practices are going to be those that we don't let something get, 3 months down the road, that we're actually like monitoring ourselves and our commitments and our accounts frequently, and not just allowing that one person that's in the treasury position to do that, that we're narcotics anonymous eyes and ears.
Correct. And one of the areas that I have a concern with is nowadays you get a bank account and you get one of those debit cards.
Right.
You know, and who holds that debit card? You know, and we know what the banks say about two signatures on a check. You know, it's something that, 20 years ago that would have been fine. You know, today it's all done electronically. You can put a check through the system and it not even be signed, and they'll pay it. So, there's those confidences that we had. But the reporting part of it is, I think, very important. You know, it's like, for our convention committee, I have to submit a reconciled bank statement and a treasurer's report to the region, plus the committee. You know, and then that's all backed up with the chairperson and the vice chair also have ability to look at the bank account and see what's going on with it. So we've got more than one set of eyes playing on it, and it's not just one person sitting there, with a pile of money on the desk. You know, when we got done, there was four of us counting money at the end of the day before we put it in a box. And then two of us took it to the bank. Gentlemen, back.
In our area, the statement goes to the chair before it goes to the treasurer,
right.
So they can scan it.
Right.
And another thing, as far as criteria, as far as judgments and liens that we have against yourself personally.
Correct. Yeah, because there again, it's like if you've got an IRS lien and they're looking for Social Security numbers, you know, that Social Security number's on that bank account, and the possibility lies that that money can be garnished.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really interesting if you get down into some of the bank rules about how your bank account's really handled. We have to pay attention to that. Now, I didn't realize that until I was told one day that one of my clients hadn't paid their quarterly payroll taxes, and my signature's on the checking account. And the IRS informed me that I could be personally responsible for paying that bill. So there's more stuff into this than just the outside, you know, doing the budgets. Bill.
Yeah, that gentleman has a valid point. I mean, people have stolen money no matter how you try to, you know, control it and look at it and so on. Like in our area, we have, well, hopefully we get one soon. We have a treasurer and a vice treasurer. The vice treasurer is supposed to really also look at the report. I've never looked at the report. Maybe I'm wrong in not doing that, but that's what I'm just trying to say. But you also have the other problem is for at the group level, you have some groups that have several hundred dollars in their group accounts. And there's no need for that. That's up to the group, and that's up to the group conscious to say that's, you know, too much. You know, the group that I'm with, we got 20, 30 bucks, and that's it, over a buck.
Yeah. Well,
so
you got,
there's a lot of different ways to right. handle that.
So you have a home group, and it meets once a week. You
yeah.
don't have, like, a group where you've got meetings, seven or eight meetings in a week, and you have one GSR and one business meeting where you're dealing with hundreds of dollars versus, you know, and at that level, it's basically all cash. I don't know many home groups that have their own checking account. So now you're strictly dealing with cash. So where does that accountability come from? You know, okay.
What's your opinion about, like, somebody being an area or regional treasurer and have them be required to be bonded? Is that extreme?
That kind of goes to the extreme end. I think it depends on the size. I think if you're dealing with a function or a region that we're dealing with, you know, huge amounts of dollars, I mean, I know there's some conventions that have budgets over $100,000. I would, at that stage of the game, I would think that bonding the treasurer would be a good thing, or bonding the whole group. You know, bonding the admin body would be a smart suggestion. When you bond somebody, it allows you a recourse to go back to if something disappears. It's kind of like insurance. It's a cheap way of E&O insurance.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
It came up at our regional meeting, and I don't remember the exact why it was coming up, but it had to do with money and other things, and they were talking about nonprofit status and things like that. Where does all that fall into any of this? That, I mean, why would we have personal bank accounts associated with anything anyway, with our Social Security numbers and all of that? But that to me just seems ludicrous. You know, we're talking about
they're not personal accounts.
Okay.
But in order for you to be a signature on the account,
okay.
Your Social Security number is tied to that signature.
Okay.
That's the bank. I don't have a choice when I get onto a committee and they want me to sign on the account.
Yeah.
They take my Social Security number.
They want to know you're a legal entity.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and then at that same time is that when they go through that, they take that Social Security number and they run it through check systems.
Sure. Well, I can understand the importance of that, but being then liable in other ways through IRS and everything.
Go ahead.
So I apologize. I apologize. It strikes me that we're talking about the standard ways of making sure that we're having financial responsibility. A business will typically vet the person that's touching the money and also have a check and balance to make sure that the money's not being misappropriated. Right. So two sets of eyes, an alternate treasurer or a vice treasurer. Bonding or increased betting as more money comes in. You know, it's a whole balancing act.
Right, and it all depends as if your group is, most regions are corporate entities.
Right.
Most of them are under a 501c3. Some go to the further extent of going through the state. At the regional level, go through to the state asking for a tax exempt so that you're not paying sales tax.
Right.
And I have mixed opinions on that because this is just my personal opinion here. I'm going to put a personal opinion in here. It's about, when we were out there, we used and took and took and took. Today, I feel that, we should be responsible and pay the sales tax to help, to keep the state supported or the city supported,
We are in it.
Because we are a business, and businesses pay taxes. Even a nonprofit. So, and I have mixed feelings on that one too. So, yes.
So obviously, the area that I'm in is very lax, and the treasurer couldn't be a signatory. Neither could the chair. And I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, are we got our heads in the sand, or are we just too trusting, or what the heck? I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God.
It goes back to, is the person qualified? Are we using the good old boy system, or are we putting people in who are qualified that can pass the guidelines to be able to hold those positions?
They couldn't, so then what do? We take that person out of the position because they didn't fulfill the guidelines.
You may have to. You're dealing with other people's money. What comes to the basket, what comes into the thing, is not our personal money. It's not ours. It belongs to NA, and what we do with that money needs to be in the way that we keep that dollar going as far as fulfilling, the addict's our responsibility to help the addict who still suffers carry that message. If we don't carry that message, we have a problem. Yes. Go ahead.
So how does that money get distributed to the addict who still suffers? Like in which areas?
Well, the money normally comes in, it goes to an area or goes to a region, and then that money funds things like H&I for handing out literature, PR meetings and those types of things. It all depends on where the governing body decides that money's going to go. And that's all done at either a group level, your business meeting, or at an area level at an ASC meeting, or at a regional level where you're talking about the region and how they want to spend that money. And there should be budgets to go along with all of that. So that that you're projecting so much money coming in, and where are you going to spend it? I'll be right. Yes?
Do they usually put where they're going to spend it depending on whoever needs it most? What area
that's what the area decides to do. There isn't a set standard of, the meeting gives money to the area, or the meeting decides that they're going to do 80% to the area and 20% to the world. Most of the stuff usually comes up from the meeting to the area, and the area to the region, and the region's responsible for spreading, sending money to the world or not. Yes.
My name is Michelle. I'm an addict.
Michelle.
So I'm the area treasurer for Napa Solano. And I know that maybe to put it simply is that wherever we have our meetings at, that's where we have to pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay for coffee. We have to pay for literature. We pay for activities. We pay for, all of those things, the handouts, the flyers, the copies, and you know, all that stuff. So that's how we give back, and we support the addicts who are still suffering. That's how we go out and, support the cause. You know, we go into facilities, we go and we hold meetings, and every, it's all the bigger picture. Like everybody in here, when we pass around a basket, everybody put their dollar in. That's all divvied up into what, you know, we do as far as the activities and all the meetings and all that in a whole, regional or area level.
Right. Each region or each group or each meeting. I know that in my home group, we start with, taking care of our literature, making sure that we have literature to give, the IPs so that we've got money for those because, and then we buy the books, Half the time we give the book away if that's what needs to happen to a newcomer. Right. And then the money that's left over goes to our area. And that's where it stops. That's the next step is what the area does with it. Yes?
Christopher Attic.
Christopher.
If I wanted to look into something, if I wanted to learn more, is there does NA have a procedure other than the Treasurer's Handbook to go further and deeper into something like digital accounting media, like QuickBooks?
One resource would be a guide to local service. And some of the other areas is just, I found that if I talk to other treasurers from other doing other things and find out what they're using. I set up Southern Nevada originally as on QuickBooks, and they've proceeded on with it. Just so that there is more of a detailed accounting. Because everybody kept asking the question, where's it come from and what are you doing with it? That's the biggie. Yes, ma'am.
So she was saying that they had people in service that didn't meet the requirements for a treasurer. Every group is autonomous, right? And so me as a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I know what a treasurer's requirements should be. I'm in a meeting, and they're voting to waive clean time for somebody who's volunteering as a treasurer position. I can't make the group be like, hey, check it out. Like, we have these, I can say, we have these things in place for a reason. I don't think waiving clean time is a good idea. But then group conscience goes and votes to waive clean time anyways. Like, what do you do
well,
in that?
There again, at a group level, I know with one of the home groups that they actually have a sheet that's written that's kept with the books of how many people were there, how many newcomers, how much was spent for rent, how much was spent for coffee, and that kind of stuff. So if they have a number, and that usually comes not only, and then that information is checked by the treasurer, so that there's a reference point. There's an envelope that comes to the treasurer that says where the money went, how many people were there, what the rent was,
so
and
you're talking about groups that have multiple meetings, right? I'm talking
this is
about
this is
meeting.
Just a meeting, yeah.
Just the meeting.
That's well, see, it's your business. At your business meeting, that's when you should be talking about, and clean time is, that's a controversial thing, It's not set in stone. It's a group conscience. And sometimes that'll get you in trouble. Yes, sir.
I've been treasurer for my home group. I've been GSR for my home group. I've handled both ends of the money. I've took the money in from the group. I've been the GSR that took the money from the treasurer to area. At a group level, if you wanted to steal money, you'd be stealing $20, $30,
$40. Right.
But my group, we have a prudent reserve, which is 1 month's rent we set aside. I put that in my bank account. And that just sits there. We buy our literature, buy our chips, our IPs, and all the rest goes to area. What area does with it is, once I hand the money over to the area treasurer and I get my receipt, what she does with the money, I'm sure it goes to region and they order whatever, they allocate it however.
Right.
So, I really don't know what this discussion is on. I walked in on you know, talking about misappropriation of funds and people stealing money. I don't know if it's an area level. I don't know if it's a group level. I don't know.
It happens in all areas. It happens.
Are we talking about the whole thing?
We're talking about, you know, the responsibilities of the 11th concept. You know, so it's like, you know, what kind of, I'm, you know, we're just an open discussion thing is to find out what other people are doing so that we can incorporate some new ideas, you know.
So we talked about the treasurer. Can we talk about the actual appropriation of funds by areas?
By
groups?
Sure.
Because we've had some controversial transactions in Sierra Foothills recently.
Okay, so and, you know, it's where the money's going.
Right, so a group comes for seed money, and it turned out that the area didn't abide by their own guidelines because the policy advisor didn't read the guidelines and did not read them back to the group. You know, he subsequently died, so he's forgiven, but, you know.
Yeah. Tough way to make an amends.
Stop laughing, the guy died.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
That's
the thing
that people are forgiving.
I was just about to say
we gave a group seed money. Basically, the area loaned a group money and then had to collect it back from the group. So it was like this credit and collections agency for a while. And the treasurer was just livid when it was all said and done because it took months.
Right. I had Bill, and then I've got somebody over here.
Parts of that. Yeah. Now I have two parts of it. One is the lady, you did what you were supposed to do.
Yes.
That's right. Right. And after the vote was taken, that was it. You can't do anything else. You're done. Unless you want to play a game and say, well, I'm going to take my pass and go home.
Yeah.
And you did what you like. And I ran a group that we did seed money, and we came out negative. But that's not really area's money. We've been given money to area forever. It was just money that we needed in order to seed money.
This group did not fit that category.
Okay.
I don't know. This is I'm glad to be here, and it's pretty interesting because there was a time where I decided to take a coffee commitment, and the girl was trying to have me purchase the coffee, and I didn't have any money, and I didn't have a job, and she said, "Oh, so and so usually donates the coffee," and I was like, "Well, I'm not so and so, and I don't have that kind of money. I don't even have a job." So a lot of times the stuff is not, and then I go to meetings where the money's not being reported either, and I put a dollar in a basket, and I try to put a dollar because I want to be a part of it, contribute to what's been given to me. But there's times there's not even no coffee, and I'm like, what's really going on here? So I kind of trip out. I'm like, and then I hear about meetings that don't have literature or meetings that don't have, there's just a lot of stuff that there isn't, and I catch myself putting the dollar in the basket, and I'm like, okay, what's really going on here? And there's no report, there's nothing.
Right, there should be a, you know, personally, I believe that there should be a treasurer's report at the group level.
Yeah.
You know, so that there is some accountability.
I was just going to piggyback on what this gentleman was talking about earlier. You know, my friend just reminded me that, you know, at one of our meetings, the meeting I attend on a Friday night regularly, it's his own group, the treasurer is actually an ex-bank robber.
Oh my God.
Okay. And he's the treasurer there, and he gets, you know, take this with every penny, you know, so just go and spend. It really matters a lot about, you know, a lot about, you know, where that person's at, and not even how much time they have, but how far they've gone down this road, you know?
That's right.
And which is what this gentleman touched on about working the 12 steps.
Steps.
I mean, if you've gone through the 12 steps, and you've taken an inventory, and you've gotten to those amends, I mean, you know, that's
it's one of those things about the discussion about clean time doesn't always equal recovery.
That's right.
You know. Somebody else was.
I actually had a comment about prudent reserve, and this comes up a lot in my home group and other home groups that I go to, and about prudent reserve and how much of a prudent reserve, and, you know, what's the best thing for the newcomer to have as a prudent reserve? Because, you know, if somebody does walk off with the money, how many months of rent do you want to have? And then where should that be kept? And I heard this gentleman say that he kept, and this is not about you at all, but he has it in his bank account. But what if he dies? Then, you know, then the group's money
is in a bank account, and the guy who put it in there is now no longer able to pull that money out of the bank account. And then Travis's home group, it's in an envelope, and it's kept with a bag that goes from treasurer to treasurer. And so there's 1 month's or 3 months' rent in that envelope. And it's like, what is the best thing to do? Is it safer in someone's bank account, or is it safer in an envelope?
The issue you run to with someone in someone's bank account is commingling of funds. Okay? So, you know, you have an example of there's $40 of the group's money in somebody's personal bank account, and all of a sudden he's overdrawn. Where's your $40? You know, I've run into instances where there have been committees, like an activities committee, that the money was in a shoebox in somebody's closet.
What happened to me there is that I got taught by my sponsor. Early on, I think I had 90 days clean, and I was the treasurer of a daily meeting for one day of the daily meeting, right? And, you know, I had the money in one pocket, needed to buy cigarettes, and I didn't have the money in the other pocket to buy the cigarettes, so I bought the cigarettes with the money that was in this pocket. When I got home, I replaced it, and I told my sponsor about it, and he said, we don't do that. And now whenever I run for a position, I have to tell that for you.
Absolutely.
And the only reason I tell that story when I run for any position is to teach the newcomer that may be sitting there that never even heard the term commingle or misappropriate, that is, I didn't steal from NA technically, but for a few seconds I did.
You borrowed.
You
went to the first bank of NA.
Well, it's just important that we teach, that we mentor, and that we sponsor this way, and that we have these kind of conversations where we're saying, oh, wait a minute, you got a clean time to be a treasurer? You know, it's like that kind of stuff. Where we're really actually bringing the conversation to the top of the
community. Right. Yes, sir.
And just to clarify, I had a bank account for the funds, but it was only a bank account for that fund. GSR along with me, so in case something happened to me, the GSR also, getting to this lady's question over
there. Thank you, I was just saying my answer.
There are some meetings, the rent for meetings has skyrocketed.
Right, absolutely.
In the area where I live, the rent, one meeting I go to, the rent is $200 a month. It went from $15 a month to $200,
wow.
Like that, okay? Now, this meeting is a program meeting. There's 90 to 100 people. There's 60 people from a program that come there. They have zero money.
Right.
So the people that put money in, normally, the $40 or $60 that would come in a week would cover the rent plus the expenses. Now, all of a sudden, you need $50 a week just to cover the rent.
Right.
Okay, that's not including literature, IPs, key tags, and coffee, creamer. So, you know, what we ended up doing was every week we say, would someone like to volunteer to be a sweetie next week? And that person would bring the snacks and coffee. And that way it alleviated us from having to pull it out of the account that we really didn't have money. Because so for a second there, we were pulling it out of our prudent reserve like the first couple months until we figured this out. Because, you know, it takes a couple months to figure anything out.
Right.
And,
and that's if you can get a group conscience.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go back a little bit. In 1988, when I first came to the fellowship, we were putting a dollar in the basket.
Right. We're still putting a dollar in the
basket. And everybody's still putting a dollar in the basket.
Also, one other thing, we bring that up at our meetings, and we say in 1970 you were putting a dollar in a basket. Well, rent has went up from them. So if you could put more than a dollar, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Right,
and that helps a lot.
We've got one group that they're charged a dollar a head for rent.
Yeah, that's right.
So you know, if you've got 34 people in a meeting and you collect $28, what do? Do you send the basket around a second time?
Sure.
Absolutely. Yes.
Angie. So my suggestion is, if you're ever in question about where your money is going, show up at the business meeting.
Absolutely.
See what their financial statement. You have the right to ask to see the financial statement for that particular group and find out where your dollar is going.
Even if you're not a home group member,
you're a meeting member. You can go home and ask to see the vote.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't have to be able to have that one thing.
There you go.
Yeah. So for the record, $1 in 1974 is $5
today. Yes. With inflation.
Yeah, that means ain't something if you go back to
1953.
Correct. Yeah. So I have a question about the number of checking accounts for an area. There, my first area that I was going in, we had one checking account. The next area I went in, we had three checking accounts. What's your take on that? It was literature, activities, and the area.
Okay. There should be, in our region, there's the regional checking account, and then there's a separate checking account for the convention. So there's a separation of, I call it separation of church and state. Yeah. It's so that there is a separation.
The region incorporated and the region is incorporated in the
The convention is a subcommittee of the regional service body.
Okay. Is any of it incorporated?
The region is. Yes.
I was going to say, yes, we have the same staff. Every region that's incorporated that is oversight committee for all our individual subcommittees. So each have their own checkbook, but it's all governed or it's all overseen by the RSO or right. Its entity.
Right. I sometimes seem that the more checking accounts, the more confusing, the more opportunities lie to...
But what about on an area level? I understand, convention and the region, but having a checking account for your activities, having a checking account for your literature, and having a checking account for your area, your ANC.
That should all come from your
ANC. Should, yeah.
I know that's what the book says.
The book says it should come out of the ASC. I can see in an area level where you've got, our areas, and most of them, the money for literature comes from the area. It doesn't come from a separate fund. It's tracked. Right. It's tracked as how much was a donation and what was put for literature. And that literature money goes back to replenish the inventory for the. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it's you.
So our area has the area checking account, but then the activities has a checking account as well because their food reserve is $1,000. You're not going to keep $1,000 in the shoebox. And then all of our events are different. Smaller events, some of them have their own checking accounts as well. And it is super confusing. It's not convenient at all.
Right.
But literature and H&I and TI all have the area checking account.
I think to solve the confusion on that, when your other things that would fall under an activities, could be
we're
done.
We're trying to get there where everything is under activities instead of having like a summer camp and a.
Well, it's all about me.
Dinosaur days and because they all have their own.
It winds up in a situation where it's all about me. That subcommittee wants to be me instead of we.
Yeah.
So you wind up with great discussions, I'm sure, and some of them pretty heated when it comes to we want to put this all under one basket, and they don't want it that way. So, it's what does the area want to do? What do you want to do with that? How do you want to track that? It's something that, I've learned over the years that, the more people that are looking at it, chances are the less money is going to go away. More sets of eyes. Yes, sir.
One thing I've found with in our area, it's all under one
basket.
One checking account. And what happens with that, although, we'd like more checking accounts because we'd like to write something for activities or literature, what happens is people need to plan a little bit better. And since the area meets monthly and they're going to need money for, the 4th of July picnic, then in June's, area, then they come to, and people end up planning a little bit better to get the money, but then it's only from one account, and it's
so much easier to track.
Kind of theft of funds that I know.
Yeah, it's much easier to track. Yes, ma'am.
Everett area is similar to hers, where we have
have area has a checking account and activities has a checking account. But activities though is self-sustained. So they do their events and they whatever money they make off those events goes back into activities. Because we have some activities in our area that end up costing quite a bit of money, but then at the end they bring extra money. And so once they go over a certain amount, the extra then goes back to the area so that it can then go on to the region and so on and so forth. And it's over and there's accountability at every ASC. The activities treasurer has to give a report and every year it is audited with the chair and the vice chair of area and the chair of activities and the treasurer and so on and so forth.
Right. Yeah. And it goes to the back and then when you're doing things like budgeting for, you know, it's like our convention budget was $36,000 this year. You know, and that's a lot of money. You know, I could. Well, we're a small convention. You know, our regional convention has 500 or 600 people. Okay, it's not like Northern California where you have 3,000 or 4,000. Or when you go to the World Convention and you sit in the banquet, it's a small intimate gathering of 4,000. You know, so. You know, but there again, I know World puts a budget together, you know, and they try to follow it. You know, it just everything is a little bit different because everybody's pot's a different size. Mm-hmm. So the bigger the pot, the more closer you need to look, I think. That much is my thought. Yes, and I'll get to you, Phil. Phil, okay.
Anyway, for our area, we have two accounts. We have one for spiritual breakfast, which is a pretty big one, and then we have the general area. If somebody from Unity Activity needs money, all they do is request the money through a motion, mm-hmm. and then we give them a check right away that day. In fact, John writes out the check, so then we don't need their account for it. So that when they finish the activity, they bring in their receipts and it's done.
Right.
So they don't need to write a check because all of a sudden you're writing checks. And you hope you got a checking account that doesn't charge you service charge.
Right.
Because I know on a spiritual breakfast, we were charged $16 a month.
Oh.
And we always had over $2,000 in it.
Right. And so that's the other thing. The banking industry has gotten really strange with stuff. You know, for our region, if we put $50 a month, transfer $50 a month into a savings account, then the banking is free. So you wind up taking that money that's in your operating account, moving it to the savings account. You can move it any time. But that took care of the bank fees, and that's $16 a month.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're going to wind up with a savings account. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we have a lot that happens in our area. We have activities. We have H&I funded through area, but H&I runs a fundraiser every year that they accumulated money over the years and then decided to create a self-sustaining NA event that just brings the H&I money in, right? It's great, but all of the accounting for area still comes through the area account. It's all accounted for by the treasury. You know, if there's a transition in activities, you can just go back to last year's treasury budget and see how much money was given. They can even say, yeah, this time of year we usually write the check for the 4th of July picnic, and it's on the ledger, and the treasurer's going, hey, compared to last year, we wrote a check last year. What activities? Why are you not moving on the event? Are you going to have the event? And when we don't do that, things fall through the cracks, and then you got two budgets or four budgets. It's okay if they have budgets for their activities, but the bottom line is still what's coming through, you know. And if they bring in extra, that extra money comes through the treasury and they get their budget back.
Right.
But it gets deposited into the treasury and a check goes back to them.
You know, it's part of that budgeting and planning. Mm-hmm. You know, we plan to have a convention next year in October. You know, and we plan to put a budget together for that convention based on the contract and based on historical spending, so that we have, you know, we've now got 6 years of history about the convention and where the expenditures are. We can see where we can budget and how we budget. You know, so the longer an event's going on, the easier it is to put kind of a budget together. Yes, sir.
One of the other things that we've incorporated is the only time that we write a check is during a business meeting and everybody's present.
Absolutely.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, we've run into occasions where we've had to write a check, and it's to take care of a bill, but it's done with two signatures, and it's usually the chair or vice chair. And in our area, in our region, the treasurer is a signer on the account. The vice treasurer is not.
Right.
So, you know, and the vice treasurer works very closely with the treasurer, and the reports are all looked at before they ever go. Plus, they're put out to everybody. So, you know, there's the more, again, it comes back to the more eyes you put on it, you know, the better it is. You know, and it's kind of a, you know, that's important. We don't watch what we're doing. If we take that laid back and, oh, somebody else is going to take care of it, you know, we're going to be in trouble. You know, we need to be proactive when we're doing things like this. You know, I've got a vice chair on the committee that asks tons of questions, which sometimes can be frustrating, but on the other hand, I look at it as she's trying to make sure that there's accountability going on here. You know, so it, you know, it makes a difference. So we've done that one. We beat that one pretty well. I think we've heard some great ideas. Yes? Did you have your hand up there in the back row?
I'm waving.
Oh, you're waving? Yeah, because I want everybody to be able to be heard, you know.
I'd like to hear some discourse. Travis Nemanek from Seattle. I'm coming up on CINAC 2018, July 2018. Come see us. We're going to have a convention in Seattle. So I'm treasurer, so I'd love it if everybody was there. But I'm just curious, like, you know, I'm new to QuickBooks. And so we used Quicken on our last convention because that was what the treasurer was familiar with.
Right.
Technology. But we have decided that we're going to go with QuickBooks, you know, and I don't have the experience, but I'm going to be mentored.
Okay.
I've got lots of people on my team, so to speak, that are going to help me with it, right?
Right. Because
we want it to be successful at that.
I'll get your email address and I'll send you a chart of
perfect.
Accounts.
Perfect. I appreciate it. Thank you. And then another, so I wanted to maybe if there's some discourse on that and what your experience is with QuickBooks, you know, that kind of thing. And how much time does it take in a month? You know, if you have to give a monthly report, you know, does it take hours and hours? That kind of thing in your experience, I'm sure it gets a lot, takes less time as you get more experience doing it, right?
Correct.
But then the second part that I want to ask too is like, we're using Square to supplement as opposed to just taking cash.
Correct.
To be able to, you know, to use Square has helped in 2016. So we're going to continue that, I'm thinking, for 2018. And what we've done is we've, instead of paying the tax, the CINAC pay the tax, we've asked that you pay like $103 as opposed to $100 for the registration.
Right.
Right. So I just wanted to see if anybody else had some more discourse on that part of budgeting and on a convention level, so to speak.
Our convention uses PayPal.
Yeah.
And they've got fees. And we build that into the online registration. There's a price of the online registration. And we found that using Square or PayPal or QuickBooks has a program also for credit cards, that our revenue increased because not every today people don't carry cash.
Right.
Okay, it's all done on plastic.
Right.
You know, so and even on site, we, you know, we call it a convenience fee.
Yeah.
You know, because it can add up to hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and the bigger you are, you know, and you try and negotiate these things, but they're pretty much fixed.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to that, but with I prefer QuickBooks. Of course, I've been using QuickBooks since 2003.
And may I ask why you prefer it?
It's more detailed, and QuickBooks also gives you the capability of putting stuff on an Excel spreadsheet.
Right.
So that you can actually get a spreadsheet that you can work on. Also, I don't particularly use it. Because I'm not that, you know, yeah, I've been around computers for a long time. Excel just never excited me. You know, it's like I'm going to be forced to learn how to do PowerPoint. You know, because,
yes, you know,
because my position now says that I have to do some presentations other than like this. You know, I'd like to have some stuff, but, you know, it's like, here we are. You know, and let's, you know, we let it go. But yeah, some kind of accounting software. There's Peachtree, there's Quicken, there's QuickBooks, there's several others out there. It's what you're comfortable with. Once you get the hang of QuickBooks, it works really easy. And the nice thing about QuickBooks is if you make a mistake, you can fix it.
Yeah.
Do not do it online.
That's what I've also heard. Thank you.
Because it's very hard to fix something online on an online account than it is to. On the desktop version of QuickBooks, if you need to undo a previous month's reconciliation, you can do that. You can't do it online. So, you know, I prefer the desktop version. And it there again, if you buy a set and you aren't using their credit card process, you can buy like QuickBooks 2016. I'm waiting for 2017 to come out to look at. But you can use that forever.
Okay.
Yeah. The only reason why we have to keep doing is at one time we took credit cards through QuickBooks. And they require that you change every 3 years because they won't maintain the software.
Right.
So that's the disadvantage of doing QuickBooks with credit cards. But you should change your passwords on a pretty regular basis too. Yes?
We use Microsoft Webmatic. We use QuickBooks. We started 2 years ago. And it's like the easiest, most intuitive, user-friendly thing in the universe. I'm a social worker, not a fucking accountant. I don't talk accountant, you know. And I understand QuickBooks, and it's really easy. And you know, there's a little help icon that answers questions for me all the time. And we used to use PayPal for processing, and that became cumbersome and not user-friendly on-site at the convention to run cards. We ran into problems over and over and over with PayPal. So now we exclusively use Square, and I can export a report from Square.
Right.
Import it into QuickBooks, and I don't even have to think about what's happening. It does it. And it's beautiful and seamless and easy. Probably took me about 2 hours to figure out how to use the program, probably altogether through the entire course of our convention, and we have about a 10-month planning process. My guesstimate would be from beginning to the end of the close of the convention, 3 hours of data input is all there is in all of that time.
It takes me to do the treasurer's report, it takes me about an hour. Yeah. And everything's there. You can reconcile the checkbook right there. It prints a report. You put it together with I take our bank statement. I write out the account numbers because I'm going to be sending that through an email. So I don't want the rest of the world to have the checking account number and the savings account number. So I take whiteout tape works really good. You just wipe it right over there, you're done. You don't have to do the scribble, the black box, and all the rest of that stuff.
I missed who you send it to.
I send my treasurer's report to the chair and the vice chair. I also send it to the regional treasurer.
And that's where you white out.
When I scan the work in.
Gotcha. Okay.
I put the whiteout on it because that way it's not out there for the world to see.
Okay.
I learned that lesson a long time ago when I put a treasurer's report out and forgot to do that. I caught all kinds of.
Yes, you did.
I hadn't heard that, so thank you.
Yes. Yeah, anytime you're doing documents that have got bank accounts numbers on it and you're sending them through email, it's the best practice is to take and wipe that out. You know, and that way, you know. Sometimes the bank statements come with just the last four, but most bank statements today have the entire account number on it. And so you just need to be, you know, it's just taking that extra step, you know, to making sure that you're keeping everything, you know, in an area where it's, you know, the least amount of accessibility. Because it doesn't take a whole lot to spoof a check anymore. All it takes is a piece of software. I use VersaCheck, and all you do is put the banking coding number on it and the name on it, and you can do whatever name you want and whoever's account number you happen to have. And I've had that happen.
Hey, you're describing how to spoof checks.
Yeah. But it's something you need to watch. The other thing that I found that's really important is checking your bank accounts online and watching the account every week just for irregularities. so that you can see if something's gone on. That way you're not waiting for a full bank statement cycle. You'd be able to get to the bank within that week to report something. You know, it makes it much easier, and the bank's much more happier if you can do that right away instead of waiting for a month. Go ahead.
I do have a question about that. In 16, we had some resistance to having online access because there was a fear that someone could move amounts of money online easily. And so I understand that, so we did not have online access. We do have online access now. But in your experience, have you been able to set up, say, with the bank, view-only access or something like that, so you could manipulate accounts?
You can use the view-only.
I'm sorry?
You can use the view-only.
Okay.
But the treasurer needs to be able to transfer funds from within that account. See, like we deal with Wells Fargo.
Thank you.
We deal with Wells Fargo, and we have view-onlys. But the treasurer is allowed to transfer just within that block. You can't go outside of it.
Right.
And the bill pay is disabled. So you can't do a bill pay and send it to somebody.
Also a maximum cap on the amount of money that's being moved.
Right. Mm-hmm. Terry?
Yeah, one of the things we did when I put this on in 05 is anytime anybody got online to look at our account, because it was back then we had to have two signatures on our thing, but anytime somebody got into our account, we got notified.
Right.
The other two people on the account got notified immediately via phone. We'd get a text on our phone, so we'd go. And then, of course, usually my treasurer was the one that was doing it to see where we were at. But that way, it was letting us know that, this is what's going on.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing is to limit the number of signers on that account.
Yeah.
You know. Ours is the treasurer, the vice chair, and the chair. I know the region has a different thing, but they've got three or four people. But one of those people that's on the account is the regional delegate. So you actually have the regional delegate overlooking the banking system too. So, you know, there again, we go back to the more eyes.
Thank you.
Anybody else have some questions? Yeah, I know this is kind of like, you know, off the top, you know, on a wing and a prayer with what the God of my understanding got us started on. And I think it was pretty successful. I think we got a lot of information and we shared a lot of ideas. And I really appreciate you guys coming out and paying attention. And yes, I'll give you my contact information.
Can I bring up something?
Sure.
So this morning, the first session that I attended this morning was in this room, and it was on the 12 concepts. And there was some discussion around the 11th concept that NA funds also included NA people and the application of resources. You know, when we put people into service, there's an overhead involved in being of service. And one of the things is to apply our resources effectively, you know.
Correct. And is that person really qualified?
Yeah.
To do that position.
Yeah, and are we burdening the system, or are we just participating? And I don't have an agenda on this, and I don't have a suggestion on this, but I've heard a lot of our struggles lately from a governance, non-governance representative standpoint, and remembering the application of resources is probably helpful in that regard. Like, there is strength in numbers, but sometimes there's just elegance in a simple solution.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'm a firm believer that what my experience has been over the years is I see people being put into positions that they're totally and completely not qualified to do. And it's because they brought a bunch of people in and they influenced the vote.
And I guess the other side of that too is people have to remember, if a group hasn't come to a consensus and they send their issue up to region, and region hasn't come to a consensus and they that issue is going, you know, to world eventually, we're just wasting everybody's time.
Right. You know, it's something that each group has to look at. You know, each group is autonomous.
Right.
Okay. You know, but is it affecting NA as a whole?
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's what we need to look at. You know, I am a firm believer. I'm not real strong about waiving clean time. this is just my opinion. I think it's important that people have the clean time. I mean, they may have 5 years clean, but they may have 30 minutes of recovery. You know, and I've seen that. You know, but I've also seen people with 3 years clean that you could swear to God they had multiple years, you know, 10 or more. So it's like where they are in their recovery. And that's the balance that you need to look at when you're doing clean time, when you're looking at waiving clean time. Where is that individual in their recovery? Are they working with a sponsor? You know, have they gone through their steps? Where are they with the traditions and do they understand them? You know, when I first got clean, I didn't have any clue that there was 12 concepts because I was never involved in a group that read the concepts. You know, it wasn't until 18 years ago when I moved to Vegas that, you know, I got an idea of there were concepts of service. Because I had never written or read that far into it. You know, today it's a whole lot different. I'm learning a whole lot more about concepts. Yes, sir?
Well, my take on changing or waiving clean time is that you're then putting personality into principles.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, are we placing principles or personalities first? You know, it's like, you know, you got the good old boy system and you got a group conscience. You know, what takes over, the group conscience or the good old boy? So, yes?
I just want to tell you guys one small horror story about clean time and treasury. So our treasurer at 20 years clean and took all of our area money. He's still clean, he's still in recovery, but he took all of our money and continued to be a part of our community. You know, like, it doesn't matter. He fit our clean time requirements, he fit the experience profile, he fit all of those things, but some shit happened in his life.
Right.
And my area wanted to prosecute him in a court of law to get the money back. I advocated strongly against that because, you know, the still suffering addict is often the one sitting in the room with us. But, you know, that's an important consideration.
Well, there again, it's you know, theft policies.
Right.
You know, and making that person aware that if you misappropriate funds, that there is a legal recourse and that you plan on taking that recourse. And you have to remember, when doing that kind of stuff, you've got statutes to worry about. Yes?
Like you guys both shared about people with recovery stealing money, I think that as a group we have to not look at that as an excuse to waive time or not apply the, well, it doesn't matter either way. Well, we have the guidelines and the foundation for a reason, right?
Right.
And so it's to not look at the exception as an excuse to throw the whole baby out with the bathwater, right?
Yeah, well, guidelines are suggested, you know, and clean time is a suggested part of those guidelines, and I feel that those guidelines should be followed because that stuff's in there for a reason.
I actually disagree with that. I don't think guidelines are suggested.
I think they are. Sorry.
She did that on purpose.
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, our guidelines have a suggested clean time.
So they're guided by a group conscience, just
right.
Like this gentleman just said.
Yeah.
The group conscience at some point said, bam, and that's what they are. I don't think there's a gray area there. I think that's what they are. If you want them to change, then bring a group conscience.
But they are guidelines.
And that's all they are. They're guidelines.
No. You look at the treasurer description and so on, it says must have 5 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Not should be, I recommend, or anything else.
It all depends on how those guidelines are written.
Well,
are. Yes. You know, so if we pay attention to our guidelines and follow our guidelines, then things should work out to the benefit of all. Yes, sir?
So for me, that's a violation of February 4th.
That's okay.
That's hard won experience. That's
right.
What guidelines are. Guidelines and policies is hard won experience. They're there because something's happened.
Something's happened. There's been.
It's not going to prevent anything from happening again.
Right.
But it's going to put things in checks and balances in place.
In place for. You know, because it comes, most guidelines are written on experience, strength, and hope.
My experience is minimum bleed time is to protect the newcomer, not to protect the body.
Right.
And I waived bleed time for me before. I shouldn't have been in the position. Not because I did a bad job, but because I wasn't ready.
Right. I got a GSR position at 90 days and I didn't know what to do with it. Okay? Now, so I can imagine them giving me a treasurer's position at 90 days. What am I going to do with this? I don't have a clue. And I didn't have any experienced members around me. Today I take on these treasurer commitments like there's nothing to it, because my experience has taught me how to do these kinds of things and where the trips are and where the checks and balances need to be. It goes back to planning, it goes back to your budgeting, it goes back to what works for the group, what works for the area, what works for the region. Every region's different, every area's different, every home group's different. There's some groups, home groups, that don't have guidelines at all, and there are other home groups that have guidelines. It all depends on the size. We don't have guidelines for my home group meeting. We meet once a week. But my old home group had guidelines because we met 8 times a week. So we had 8 secretaries attending a business meeting. And those meetings got to be a little heated at times because there have been chairs that have been tossed across the room. I went to an ASC and saw some chairs fly one year. So, it's fun. I want to thank you guys for participating in this. And I hope this helped everybody. I think there was some great information and great conversations we had and great discussion, and I really appreciate you guys.